we'll do today Torah and Tea. And today we have a double portion. Not only do we have a double portion, but we're also completing the entire book of Bamidbar. And that's the fourth book. And now we have one more.
I'm sitting in here.
And now we have one more book to finish the entire Torah. And that will happen on Simchas Torah. And then we will have the whole Torah. So we made our way through till the fourth book. Okay. And today we'll give over a little bit, as we usually do. This is based on Likutei Sichos, volume 18. We'll do one sicha for the portion of Matos, and we'll do another sicha. A sicha means a talk for the portion of Maaseh. Okay, Sarah is not on Zoom, but she's listening in over here. Okay, so here, what does the parsha talk about? Now we have this incident in where there was a war that the Jewish people waged against the Midianites, because what happened was that the Jewish people, some of them got caught up with the Midianite women, and then they got them involved in intimacy, and then they actually got them involved in worshiping their idols. God was very angry about it, and it was a plague, and there were sentences given out to the various different categories of the people who sin. And this was a very bad reflection, on the Jewish people. After everything they went through, and then they sort of failed miserably. How do they do that? So here's what it says. So the pasuk says, "Hein heina." So what happens is, when they came back to the war, they were instructed that the women that caused the plague by enticing the Bnei Yisrael, so they were instructed to kill, in addition to the men, to kill all those women. And when they find out that they did not kill the women, so this was Moshe Rabbeinu complaining. And so this is the verse 17. He says, "But weren't they the ones that wore for the Bnei Yisrael, for the Jewish people, Bidvar Bilam? They were the ones by Bilam's words." In other words, these women that brought about through the words of Bilam. What exactly does that mean? And that was that they went, they violated, they worshipped the idols, and there was the plague. What exactly were Bilam's words? So here, Rashi, I'm quoting Rashi, I'm reading it in the English from the Hebrew text. So what Bilam said to them like this, he says to them, "Even if you are going to bring in all the nations of the world," in other words, you can get as many armies, you can get as many nations involved against the Jewish people, you will not be able to beat them. The Jewish people are not beatable just by armed, by forces. You are not going to able to conquer them. You are not going to be able to win, hurt the Jewish people. Just even if you collect all the nations of the world, all the armies, all the forces, you cannot. As evidence, he says, "Look, and are you then more than the Egyptians who wore 600 chosen carriages?" What he was talking about was, it says that when it came to the sea, the Egyptians were chasing after them. And how were they chasing after them? They had 600 chosen carriages. This was the greatest of forces against them. And what happened to them, we know. They all ended up drowning. So basically, Bilam was saying to them, having more people, having more armies, fighting them in the usual way, you're not going to do anything. However, he said, come, let me counsel you. I will tell you what you need to do. And basically, he says to them, you know, their God, the Jewish God, he doesn't like, he hates promiscuity. If you can cause them, basically, says, etc., if you, and he brings down from the Talmud, he says, if you can cause them to sin, that's the way to be victorious. So in other words, what you have to do is, you have to have them lose favor with Hashem by causing them to sin. Once you cause them to sin, then you will be able to conquer them. You can't conquer them with physical force, with numbers. You can only conquer them by causing them to sin. So when the verse said they were the ones, by the words of Bilam, Bidvar Bilam, which means what kind of words? Those are the words that Bilam said. Bilam said to them that they should go ahead and use these women as a tool to conquer them by enticing the Jewish people, and then they'll get them to worship idols, and God hates promiscuity. That's the way you will conquer them. But there is something a little bit deeper than the simple meaning over here. The evidence that he brings that you can't beat the Jewish people, he brings it from the 600 chosen carriages. Yes, 600 chosen carriages is a lot. It's powerful. It represents that there is a lot more than the 600 chosen. There's more. But how does it justify the argument that even if you bring all the nations of the world, it seems to be that there was something else going on over here that Bilam was saying to them? Doesn't prove from the 600 people, but when we remember before what he's basically saying to them, we know Rashi said before, where did the 600 people have cattle to lead the carriages? Where did they have? They all died in the plagues before in Egypt. And Rashi explained that there were some of the nations that feared the word of Hashem. When Hashem said, take the animals and bring it in because there will be a hail and they will die, some of them listened to Hashem. They were Yirei, Hayorei Dvar Hashem. There are those that feared the word of Hashem. Those that feared the word of Hashem, those were the ones that were the 600 that gave them the cattle for the 600 to go fight. So basically what Rashi, the Rebbe translates it, what Rashi is trying to tell us over here is, even the spiritual level, what was going on over here, that the Jews were being victorious in a non-natural way. As we learned before, the great kingdoms of Sichon and Og, those were the mighty protectors of all of the other nations that lived around and in Eretz Yisrael. They were the protectors. And the Jewish people were able to totally decimate them. The two most powerful, strong men and kingdoms that were at that time. And the Jewish people basically obliterated them. So it was very clear that the Jews cannot be fought with a physical war. But what Bilam was trying to tell them, that even with a spiritual war, you can't beat them either. A spiritual war, like they try to curse them, Bilam tried to curse them. He was telling them, even those who feared God's words of the Egyptians, they too had no chance against the Jewish people. It wasn't just the number 600, it was the special people, those who feared the word of Hashem, that they were not able. So basically he was telling them, the Jewish people cannot be won, not through a physical war, and not through a spiritual war. The only way is to do that is by causing them to sin. In other words, they will self-destruct. And he basically said to them, let me tell you a secret. And the reason he's telling them a secret, he says, let me tell you a secret, because he doesn't want the Jews to find out what the plan is, basically. If the Jews knew that the plan was to cause them to sin, and that's the way to win the war against them, maybe they would protect themselves. But he basically told them, here is the way, this is the plan. The plan is, we entice the Jewish people, we get them to sin, we get them to worship the idols, and then the rest, they will lose the protection of Hashem. Okay.
Is this Bilam telling the Midianite women?
What? Who's? No, no. Bilam is telling he's telling to the Midianite the fighters over there, whoever, to Balak. And actually, Bilam was telling this to Balak directly. But yeah, that's what he was telling him. But we find a very interesting, to go along with this, a very interesting verse. If you look in the beginning, of the Pesukim in this portion, so it says like this. We have in verse 1, it says, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor. So God speaks to Moshe. And what does God say to Moshe? He says, Nekoim, avenge. He says, what should he avenge? Nikmas b'nei Yisrael. Avenge the vengeance of the sons of Israel. Hashem is telling to Moshe, I want you to avenge, to take nekama for the b'nei Yisrael. Whose are we avenging over here? Who is Hashem going for? It says nikmas. Look in the verse, it says b'nei Yisrael. That's the sons of Israel, the Jewish people, from the Midianite. Shem says very clearly to Moshe, go ahead and take the avengers of the b'nei Yisrael. Now look in verse 3, when Moshe tells them, what does Moshe say? Moshe says to the people, latet, he says, nikmas Hashem b'midian, to avenge for Hashem. Look, there's a change of language. Before it says, we're avenging for the b'nei Yisrael. And here we says we're avenging for Midian. The Rebbe's father, the Rebbe quotes, brings down that God protects the Jewish people. Or God is concerned about the honor of the Jewish people. So when God speaks, it says, avenge the B'nai Yisrael. That's my main concern, the son of Israel. But when Moshe speaks, he says, avenge for Hashem. Because Moshe is mainly concerned about the honor of Hashem. Hashem is concerned with the honor of the Jewish people. And Moshe is concerned with the honor of Hashem. That's why there's the change of language. When Hashem speaks, he says to avenge for the B'nai Yisrael. And when Moshe speaks, he says to avenge for Hashem. Because Moshe is taking on the honor of Hashem. So he says to avenge for Hashem. And Hashem takes on the honor of the Jews. That's why he says, Nikmaz b'nei Yisrael. There is an interesting, a very similar idea by Pesach. You know, how do we call Passover? We all call it Pesach, right? Passover. That's what we call. How do we refer to the Yom Tov? Everybody calls it Pesach, the Yom Tov of Passover. But in the Torah, it's always called the Festival of Matzahs, Chag HaMatzot. So the Holy Berditchever says that the reason is, why are we always calling it Passover? Because we're always honoring Hashem. We're saying Hashem passed over the homes of the Jewish people. We're always reminding, we're praising Hashem. We're always reminding of the kindness of Hashem, that He protected us, and He passed over our houses. But when Hashem writes in the Torah, He always talks about the praise of the Jews, that they left Egypt without preparing, without they trusted Hashem, they followed Him to the desert. They only had matzahs. It's called the Chag HaMatzahs. Hashem speaks of the praise of the Jews, calls it matzahs in the Torah, but when we call it, we praise Hashem, we call it Passover. Similar thing over here, similar idea. Over here, Hashem says the vengeance of the Bnei Yisrael. And Moshe says the vengeance of Hashem. So there's a change of language over here. Because the truth of the matter is, there were two types of wars, or two parts in the war that were going against the Jews. There was one that was the Bnei Yisrael. They wanted to harm them physically. They wanted to do bad physically to the Jewish people. But then there was also a war against Hashem, which is to cause the Jewish people to sin. Sin, to do something which is in violation of the will of Hashem, that's a war of Hashem. So, basically, there were two wars. They were fighting physically the Jews. They were also fighting them spiritually. They were also fighting the sin, trying to cause them to sin. So, the Jewish people are really talking about the honor of Hashem, about the fact that they were trying to cause the people to sin. And Hashem is talking about the nekama of the Bnei Yisrael. Now, today, also, the Jewish people are hated for, first of all, people just want to do physically bad, anti-Semitism. And I think that a lot of people are a little bit, you know, surprised and shocked about the rise of anti-Semitism now, and various, you know, we don't have to go to Europe anymore to find anti-Semitism. And I'm sure you all heard about the rabbi in Brighton who was stabbed, and mamash, miracle of Hashem, the perpetrator had a firearm on him, and he could have used that. And from what I hear, that the rabbi knew how to fend him off. So while he was wounded, they're not life threatening, and he, Baruch Hashem, is recovered and he's back home and he'll be okay. But that was a miracle. And from what I hear is that he actually entered into the side, you know, building where the children were. And it could have ended with a firearm over there. It could have ended, you know, a lot worse. Now, while the police do not want to call this a hate crime, you know, if it was the other way, if it was a black person or it was a Muslim, you would have seen, you know, you would see the Black Lives Matters live all over the place. But over here, by the Jews, they're being very cautious. They don't want to call this a hate crime. until, you know, they'll know for sure. They're going to know for sure. You know, they say the guy was a little bit deranged, but for somebody to kill other people, you got to be deranged. I mean, you would hope that normal people don't do things like that. But so there is that aspect of just plain old anti-Semitism. And like I said, we used to think it happens in Israel. We used to think it happens in Europe, and even in Canada. But it doesn't happen in South America. It doesn't happen. But it's happening all over America and all over the world. You know, a lot of people blame this on the pandemic. But, you know, there is certain situations that, you know, take place that cause these feeling of these anti-Semites to come out of their holes and try to harm the Jewish people. But essentially, that is a physical war in which they just hate us. They just hate us as a people of Jews. Just they don't want us to be around. And then you have those that wage a spiritual war against us, like especially some of the Muslims and some of the radicals in there. It's not just a physical matter that the Jew bother them, but it's also the Jewish religion and the fact that we don't all worship or believe what they believe, and that is something which is a religious war. So we have the both aspects of it, the physical and as well as the spiritual. But I guess what the verse is saying, that these are both wars that we need to know that Hashem will avenge the Bnei Yisrael, for the Bnei Yisrael, and Hashem will protect us and from both of these enemies, and we will see with Hashem's help the revenge. We're not looking so much for revenge, we're looking really for some relief and to be left alone to do our own thing without having to worry and being threatened all the time. So we hope that after this parsha over here, which we're talking about, Hashem did take the revenge, whether it is for the physical as well as the spiritual, that we will be able to merit to see that. And
Rabbi?
Yes?
I want to ask you a question.
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay, no problem. Okay, so now, Sure.
You know, Moab, Balak was the king of Moab.
Right.
So I'm wondering why it wasn't the Moabite women who were to entice the Jewish people, since Bilam was working for Balak, a Moabite.
Yeah. Well, I don't know exactly what was going on. Maybe the Midianites were prettier women. I don't know. But the plan was together. I mean, he was, and maybe there was Moabite women too. It was actually Moabite, you know. It says actually the Moabite as well.
Uh-huh.
But the Midianite took a major part in it. Not sure exactly what it worked out that way. Let's go ahead and do a little bit of the second parsha. This is the final parsha of the book of Bamidbar. So this is a recap of the journeys of the Bnei Yisrael, of the people, how they left Egypt. And the Torah goes through the 42 stops, some of the things that took place over there. There's a Medrash which talks about some of the experiences that we had and how we had the struggles and the different challenges throughout their journey. But that journey is also represents the journeys that the Jews traveled from Egypt to the land of Israel, represents life, journey, and also the journey that we're traveling now in the desert of the nation, which means while we're in exile, from the exile to redemption, till the time of Mashiach. That's the journeys too. We're also going through a similar kind of journey presently. So these journeys that they went through is also a journey. Now, you know, when we say life is a journey, so while we are traveling during that journey, life's journeys, it feels like a descent. But when we reach our destiny, we will see the benefits of it. You know, when you have life's struggles, you have life's challenges, it's very difficult. And a lot of times, we hardly make it. A lot of times, we're challenged. A lot of times, we're put to the test, so to speak. And we don't know why are we going through these difficulties. Why do we have these difficult moments? We don't know. But the truth of the matter is that when we reach a destiny, when Mashiach comes, we'll be able to look back and say, you know, we got stronger, we got more energetic, we revealed more depth in ourselves, powers that we didn't know we had, that existed in ourselves. It is those tests, those challenges that made us stronger. It's just like when you're exercising, lifting the weights, every time you have the challenge, makes you stronger to go ahead and lift even more. So when God gives us a difficulty, gives us a challenge, that is the part of life's journeys which Hashem destined for us. He brought us into this world and gave us a destiny, and we have to go through that destiny. We know that it's all designed and it's all by Hashem. It's divine providence. It's all been orchestrated. Now, but what happens when we make a mistake? Okay, certain struggles are not our fault. Certain struggles, Hashem gives them to us. And that's not something that we did or that we chose. It wasn't our mistake that gives us that challenge. It was something that was handed to us by Hashem, by His will. So over there you're saying Hashem gave it to you because He wants you to be stronger. But what about when we make mistakes? The mistakes, we made bad choices. So we have technically brought upon ourselves the new challenges. Why are we now suffering? Is because we made a mistake, because we didn't do what we were supposed to do. So how could we blame, or how could we say that even in our mistakes, it's still like divinely orchestrated, and eventually you'll see that there is a benefit, that the mistake you do teshuvah, you repent, and that brings you even higher. But that was not something that was destined. That was something that we chose with our free will. But the truth of the matter is, the Tzemach Tzedek, the third Lubavitcher Rebbe, bases it on a verse that says, Noira Lila al Bnei Yodom, that essentially everything that happens in life, including our mistakes, if we fail at something, if we don't succeed in overcoming our temptation, our habits, our fears, our insecurities, if we fail to overcome, we can blame that on Hashem too. We can say that it was Hashem that didn't give us the koyach, or didn't give us the strength to stay strong. Blame Hashem for it. Blame Hashem for our mistakes. But why are we blaming Hashem? So that means if it's Hashem's fault, so why are we accountable for it? Why will we be punished, or why will we get reward? Everything is up to Hashem, so forget about it. The world is not anymore a place of free choice. No. On a conscious level, we have a choice to do good or bad. And therefore, we're accountable for what we do. But on a deeper level, not on a conscious level, we have to know that even in our lowest places, when we are deep in the abyss, there too Hashem is with us. Hashem is the one that leads us there, to every, even our failures, even our lowest moments, even in our darkest places. Hashem leads us there, and therefore it's important to gain strength from the fact that we still have the ability and we have the love and the protection from Hashem. And if we just decide that we want to reconnect with Hashem, we have the ability to do that. And that's something which I think it's important for us to know. You know, it's a lot of things in life come to us unexpected. They come to us in a way that we're not prepared, or we don't know how to deal with them. We have problems that we don't know the solution. We don't know what to do, how to overcome them. And we become sort of desperate. Become desperate for what do we do? We have to know that Hashem is there in every situation, even in those situations as well. That as desperate and as low and as challenged and as dark as it feels, as gloomy as it feels, we have to know that everything is Hashem. Hashem is with us. Hashem is the one that leads us, even in things that we made bad choices. Wasn't because the bad choices are also led essentially in a deep level by Hashem. And that should give us the courage to sort of pull ourselves out, get back on track, reconnect to stay strong. That's the masse, that's the journey, that's life's journey. That's the journey of us as a Jewish people. The galut, the exile, has a lot of challenges. It has physical challenges, as we talked about before. It has anti-Semitism, it has other challenges. It also has a lot of spiritual challenges. Our belief is challenged. Our trust in Hashem is challenged. You know, you read stories, you have a building collapse all of a sudden like that in Surfside in Florida. You say, hey, you know, how could this happen, you know? Half a building stayed and half a building, you know, I mean, people were on this side, survived, people on that side, boom, in the middle of the night, didn't have a chance. They just fortunately, Baruch Hashem, they found the bodies. We say fortunately because, you know, to come to Kever Yisrael, to be buried in a Jewish way, is something which is very important in the Jewish law. So you may not find bodies, you may find body parts, you may not, we don't know what is there. So these are challenges. We're challenged by all this, but the challenge isn't meant to make us weaker. We have to know that everything is by design. It's Hashem's will. We don't know why it was that way. Everybody died when they were supposed to die. And everybody survived was supposed to survive. How do we know that? Because that's what happened. It's all up to Hashem. We pray to Hashem that Hashem bestow us with kindness, with goodness, so that we only see good, that we don't have to experience any pain, any difficulty, any challenges. And we should have everything that we need from in an abundant, in a full way. Hashem will look after us and after all those that perished and healed, the families and the sick and the wounded, and send us Mashiach. B'mehera Yameinu, Amen.